Thessalonians chapter 3. If you'd like to follow as I read a portion of this chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it is come, as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we lift our hearts to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we do thank you, our God, that you speak to us today. And we do thank you that you are sovereign in the ways in which you speak to us today. And we just are sensitive this morning to the fact that you perhaps have something to say to us other than what we originally had upon our hearts and minds. And so we pray at this time then that by thy Holy Spirit you would so direct our thinking through your word that it might be that which you would say to us together. We ask your blessing then to this end in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Thessalonian epistle, the apostle Paul has been telling all of the blessing of the gospel as it came to the Thessalonians. He also, in this particular section of the epistle, chapter 2, speaks of how he experienced God's leading and guiding as he came to preach that glorious message to them. And he thanked God not only for what he experienced, but he thanked God for how they, that is the Thessalonians, received the message that was preached. You notice in verse 13 of chapter 2, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because ye received the word of God which you heard of us." You received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So they received the word of God not only audibly, they gave him a hearing, they gave him an audience, but they welcomed the word of God into their hearts and lives, and in faith the word of God therefore became operative and began to change and transform their lives. This is exactly what continues to happen today. As we open our lives to the word of God, not being the word of men, but the word of God, the living word of God which we hold in our hand, God the Holy Spirit can work effectually in our lives. There is a divine energy, as we noticed there last week, through the word of God being received by the hearer. Then he thanked God not only for this, but also for the fact that they endured tribulation in verses 14 to 16 in chapter 2. And then he speaks in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 2, of his desire to revisit them. He not only had a desire to revisit them, but he had prayed that he might revisit them. We notice that in chapter 3 and verse 10. But not only did he have a desire to revisit them, not only did he pray that he might revisit them, but he also made attempts, which he evidently felt were in the will of God, he made attempts to revisit them. But in verse 18 of chapter 2, he tells us that there was something that deterred him from achieving that visit up until this time. He says in verse 18, chapter 2, Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, at least upon two occasions, he had attempted to come to them, but, he says, Satan hindered us. In other words, he introduces the fact at this point that there is an enemy to the gospel as it's going forth. There is an enemy to people hearing and receiving the gospel. There is an enemy to the purposes of God, which is the salvation of mankind. Satan, the enemy of God, seeks to keep people from accepting the message of salvation and knowing the blessedness of their sins forgiven and knowing the joy that they are the children of God and that they are on the way to heaven to live eternally with the Lord. Paul says here, Satan threw roadblocks in the way, literally speaking, so that he was not able to revisit them. You can see then that Satan in the scripture is a real person. He is a spirit being, originally created by God as the angel Lucifer. He was filled with pride, and he desired to be like God. And in that pride of Lucifer's heart, sin entered the universe. So sin entered the universe at the very throne of God in this angelic being Lucifer, who was lifted up with pride and sought to have the place that is God's alone. He sought to be independently sovereign from God. He sought to run his own life in disrespect of the fact that he was a created being. This then is the first sin, and it continues, shall I say, to be the sin that keeps us from the blessing of God. For as long as we think that we can be God, we do not turn to God. As long as we think that we can run our own lives and that we can build a get-to-heaven-yourself kit, so to speak, and achieve heaven on our own merit and in our own effort, we do not turn to the salvation that God has provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Satan continues to hinder us as men would hear the message of salvation, but listen to the deception of Satan that they can get to heaven apart from acknowledging the fact that they are sinners, acknowledging the fact that they need a Savior, acknowledging the fact that they must once again come back into dependence upon God, into a relationship of subjection to the kingship and lordship of God. Satan is a real being, a spirit being who is active in the world today. Satan tempted Jesus Christ when he was here upon earth. The Lord Jesus Christ in his teaching again and again spoke of the work of Satan. In the New Testament epistles, we again find the doctrine of Satan expounded to us. And Paul, for example, tells us that the god of this world, Satan, blinds the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the gospel of God's glory should shine in unto them, and they should be saved. I want to just set before you a number of things that Satan can and does do to hinder the work of God, and he may be hindering some of you this morning. First of all, Satan is able to tempt us. We have abundant scripture in this connection. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord himself tempted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4. Many, many other scriptures speak of Satan's ability to tempt. That is to solicit us to evil, to keep us from responding to that which is right. And in connection with the gospel, that which is right, God has commanded all men to repent and to believe the gospel. Satan tempts us, solicits us to evil from responding to that message. He solicits us to think of some other way of getting to heaven apart from submitting to God's plan of salvation. He tempts believers to keep them from responding to God in their lives and from living for God as God would have us do. Secondly, Satan is able to bring physical affliction upon us. Now we must remember that sickness or physical affliction is usually not an affliction of Satan. It is not a particular instrument of Satan. Generally speaking, we are sick. I am mortal this morning. That is, I am a person subject to mortality because of the original sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden. God said of that, when thou sinnest in the day that thou sinnest, thou shalt surely die. And when Adam sinned, he was cut off from God spiritually, alienated, separated from God by his sin. Spiritual death resulted, and physical death entered the human race, and man became a mortal being. So most of sickness, most of our affliction in physical ailment is because of the sin of Adam. And we are connected to Adam by natural birth. However, Satan is able, under the permissive will of God, to afflict us physically. All we have to do, to be clear on this point, is to read the book of Job in the Old Testament. And God gave Satan permission to bring physical affliction upon Job because it was within the purpose and plan of God, since Satan was saying to God that Job only loves you, Job is only a Christian, as we would say today, because things are going well for him. He has health, he has wealth, and so on. And God permitted him to be afflicted. Remember that Satan afflicted Paul under the permissive will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, Paul speaks of his thorn in the flesh. He speaks of the affliction of Satan. It was an affliction of Satan, physical weakness or ailment or affliction in his body. So he is able to afflict us physically. Satan is able to stir up people against us and bring upon us tribulation, affliction, trial by human instruments whom Satan may control. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 speak of the trial that came upon the early Christians, first of all from the Jewish people and then from the Gentile world. And you will remember that for the first 300 years of Christianity, the majority of Christians were martyred. It was a time of great opposition. Satan was stirring up people against the people of God. May I say this also? Satan is also able to use a believer to bring affliction against another believer. He will use any person whom he can use to achieve his purposes, and if a believer is out of the will of God, out of fellowship with God, he is very prone to be used by Satan to accomplish Satan's purposes. Number four, Satan is able to turn believers from the ways of the Lord. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And in this particular case, Peter says, Satan has put in your heart to sin against the Holy Spirit, speaking to Ananias. And so Satan is able to turn believers from the ways of the Lord if believers listen to his tempting and to his seduction and do not obey the word of the Lord. Satan is able and has indeed raised up a host of false teachers. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 13 to 15 makes it clear that there are false ministers of Satan in the days of Paul preaching in the realm of Christianity. And there are false servants of God who are truly the servants of Satan preaching under the name of Christianity in the world today. Satan has a host of those who are preaching another message other than the message of the gospel of God's grace, whereby the word of God makes it clear that we are bankrupt sinners. We have no merit. We have no means by which we can achieve a right standing before God. We are completely shut up to the grace and love and mercy of God. But praise be God, that love and mercy has been expressed in the cross of Jesus Christ. So this is the gospel. Christ died because of our sins. He was buried. He was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. And in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is salvation. I may know that my sins are forgiven. I may know that I have a right standing with God. I may know that I am a child of God. I may know that when I breathe earth's last breath, I enter into the presence of the Lord Jesus. I am absent from the body, and I am at home with the Lord. Satan has a host of those who are preaching another message. Do good. Be good. Follow the steps of the blessed Master. Do the best that you can. As long as you're sincere in your religious efforts, this is all that God expects of us. And messages such as this, of good works, of church works, of one kind or another, which detract and take one entirely away from the finished work of God in the person of Jesus Christ, which is God's good news. So Satan raises up false teachers to preach some other message. Again, Satan is able to put and does indeed have evil people in the world who are called in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 39 the plantings of Satan. They are the sons of the devil. I do not believe by any means that all men who are non-believers are the sons of the devil. But I do believe that there are specific individuals so dominated and controlled by Satan, so evil, so gross in their life pattern and in their philosophy, and some of them are upon the college campuses of our nation today, that they are without question of a doubt those who are the children of the devil. And they are deluded. They are bringing spiritual catastrophe upon our young people. And I might say they are in the military, because I was in the military. Men who are there looking for young, pure men coming into military, or women, as the case might be, and to turn them into a pattern of life which is godless and which is corrupt. And they are in the business world today, for I have been in the business world. And I could tell you story after story of efforts to turn this young man, of whom only I know, into the paths and patterns of sin. These men, these women, evil people, are the children of the devil. And Satan has them in the world in which we are living. Seventhly, I already mentioned that Satan is able to blind the minds of the unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelievers. I have emphasized this again and again. Once more, I do it again this morning. I want you to understand that the way that Satan deludes, the way that he hoodwinks, the way that he puts a bag over people's hell and over people's head and drags them down to hell, is through religious means. It is to give them to believe in the realm of the Christian religion that they are all right. And somehow, some way, sometime, I'm going to make it. But I want to make it quite clear that the Bible is most emphatic. Neither is there salvation in any other. Was the preaching of Peter, was the preaching of the apostles, is the preaching of the early church. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. For there is one God, and one mediator, one bridge, one way between God and man, himself man, also God, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for us all. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, I want to ask you to take spiritual stock this morning right where you sit without moving a minute on in this service. Where do you stand in respect to your eternal salvation? What should happen to you if that summons of death should come into your life today? What would happen to you should the Lord Jesus return for His church today? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that it is right with you and God? The only way a man can know that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said of these Thessalonians, I thank God that when you heard this message of the gospel, you received it, you welcomed it, you approved of it as the Word of God. And so your lives were transformed. And that's the only way you're going to have a passport to heaven. And that's the only way you're going to know the peace and joy and blessing that God would have you in this life as you would live today. Eighth and finally, Satan may hinder by stealing away the Word of God from the hearer. Mark chapter 4, verse 15. Makes this quite clear that it is one of the ways that Satan hinders the ongoing of the gospel. How does it happen? The word of God goes forth. The way of salvation is made clear. An individual hears that message audibly, outwardly. The message is given an audience. But before that individual welcomes that word into his heart and life, by faith it becomes operative. Satan said, now wait a minute. He's not talking about you. He's talking about the bad people. He's talking about the people that are gross and corrupt and rotten. He's talking about those people whose life patterns you would never think of emulating. He's not talking about you. You're all right. Or on the other hand, Satan says, now, wait a minute. There's lots of time, isn't there? After all, you're fairly young. You're in good health. You don't have any aches and pains. Your parents have lived for long years. Your grandfather and grandmother, they lived long too. You've got many years to consider these things. Just put it off again today. Think about it a little bit later. Or, Satan may say, it can't be as simple as that. Do you mean to say that just by resting in Jesus Christ, just by stopping your struggling, your efforts to achieve a right standing before God, and placing your faith in trust in Jesus Christ, do you mean to say that just like that, you can become a child of God, your sins can be forgiven, you can be justified? It can't be that simple. It is impossible. It's a long life struggle. You don't know enough. You haven't worked at it enough. You've got to study more books. Satan steals away the Word of God. Now, you know what I'm saying to you this morning? I'm saying to you exactly the things that people say to me as I interact with them for 30 years in my ministry. It can't be that simple. Well, I'll have a better time to think it over. I appreciate what you shared with me, but not today. And so on. These are the ways that Satan steals away the Word. Is he successful then in destroying what God is doing? He makes every effort to hinder the work of God. But the thing that we must remember this morning is that Satan is already defeated. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 makes it clear that in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, Satan was defeated in that mighty triumph of the Savior. Through his entering into death and his resurrection from death, Satan became a defeated foe. Although he is defeated, he is still active. For the day of his final consignment to eternal judgment has not yet come. But believers can now be victorious over him. May I go a step before that? You, who may not be a believer this morning, may be victorious over Satan. How? In exactly the same way that Adam could have been victorious in the Garden of Eden. To obey the Word of God. Do you understand, my friend, this morning that God is not telling you to do anything difficult? He is not telling you to make some pilgrimage. He's not telling you to turn over a new leaf. He's not telling you to learn a great deal of religious jargon and rigmarole or ritual. He is telling you that he has done everything necessary for your soul salvation. From the beginning of the Scripture to the end of the Scripture, he makes it quite clear that the work of God now through Jesus Christ has been accomplished. He is calling for you. Listen. The wages of sin is death. what you deserve to receive because of the life you've lived and what you will receive because of the life you've lived is an awful payday. And that's eternal death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're coming to Christmas time. You know what a gift is. The preacher doesn't have to expand this thought greatly, does he? Here we have the Christmas tree and the gifts are wrapped and placed around the tree. And there we see the gift for Mom and for Grandpa and for Ron and for Joanne and this one and that one and the other one. And there the gifts are. Somebody loved that person. Somebody went out and said, I think they'd enjoy this. Somebody paid the price. Somebody wrapped the gift. Somebody placed it there. Somebody said, it's for you. It's for you. It's for you. And on that Christmas day, that individual whose name was on that gift took that gift and opened it up. And their eyes sparkled. And he said, oh, this is great. Boy, I just so much wanted this. I'm so pleased with this. Thank you so very much. An expression of thanks. And they go on to enjoy that gift. Can you understand this morning that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, He it is who loved us more than any could ever or ever will love us. He it is who went out shopping for that great gift of eternal life. He it is who paid that price and put His own Son to the cross and brought the judgment of eternal hell down upon His Son. He it is who resurrected Him from the dead and said, it's finished, here's my receipt. It's done. It's done. World, it's done. He it is who sends His Holy Spirit through the Word of God telling you whosoever will may come. Anyone, any individual, no matter how good, no matter how bad, no matter how young, no matter how old, no matter who, anyone may receive that gift. Here's the crunch. There's a difference between a gift that's for us and a gift that is mine. Now there's lots of gifts under that tree and they're all for somebody. But as yet, they don't belong to anyone. They're not possessed by those somebodies. Boy, hardly wait till Christmas morning, especially when the children are small and you've been up so late getting everything ready and yet so early in the morning, so filled with excitement and the noise of the steps coming down the stairs and pouncing on the bed with their stocking and enjoying that, but then into the room, nothing will wait and they must get the gift that is mine. And they take that gift and they're filled with joy and delight. Salvation is for you. It is for you. It is available to you. One big question, my friends. Is He yours? Is salvation yours? Is eternal life your gift? Has there come the time in your life when you sat down beneath God's great Christmas tree, the cross of His dear Son, and He said, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. You're mine. Have you taken the Savior as your own personal Savior? Now, when we get into chapter 3, I think it's 5 times over, the Apostle Paul speaks about something which is very important. He speaks about your faith. I want you to look at this now as we close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. He says that he wants to establish them and to comfort you concerning, notice, your faith. Notice verse 5. I sent to know your faith. Verse 6. Timothy brought us good tidings of your faith. Verse 7, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Verse 10, he says, I wanted to see you that I might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That's the handle. That's how it becomes yours. To hear, to believe that this is the Word of God, to open your heart and life, to accept the Savior as your own, to put your faith. That simply means, Lord, here I am. I'm going to just put my weight. I'm going to build my hope. I'm going to build my house. I'm going to rest myself in yourself. Lord Jesus, you save sinners. So here's another one. Save me now. As we came together this morning, we were reminded of the fact that life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf. Like the binding of a sheaf. The poet says, be in time. I wonder if there's someone this morning, and God ordained this service this morning in this way to speak to your heart. You know who you are. Maybe it's more than one. You know this morning that you're not saved, but you need to be saved. You know this morning that although you've known for many years, perhaps that the gift is for you, you can't say this morning, it's mine. He's mine. And so this morning, you want to settle the matter of your soul's salvation. As we close this service in a quiet manner, and folks leave the auditorium as God has spoken to them, I'll be greeting friends by the door. A couple of our elders will be down here in front, one on either side. If you would like to sit down quietly and get help or assurance, or just confess the fact that this morning you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, will you come this way as friends leave the auditorium in a spirit of prayer? Shall we bow together? Gracious Heavenly Sovereign Father and God, we do pray that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou wilt continue to speak to our hearts this morning. We feel, our God, that You are wrestling with the souls of men in our service today. And we do pray for anyone who is still outside the arms of God, still unprotected, unsheltered from the wrath of God that will surely come, as we now know the love of God. Father, we pray that such individuals might receive the counsel and help and encouragement that they may need, and that this day we shall be assured of the fact that some have passed from death unto life and come into the blessing of the knowledge of sins forgiven. God, our Father, rebuke the enemy, Satan, as he would seek to steal away the Word of God. O God, by Thy Spirit, do Thou work in our midst this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.